The one thing that you do want spoken about is AFLW, with Season 3 beginning in Geelong. The Cats and the Magpies play on Saturday night. There was an article written for The Age about the AFL had ramped up its promotion and its marketing to push Year 3. That landed with a sense of puzzlement amongst those who follow it most closely. Kate O'Halloran is one of those. She's a journalist. She's the host of Kick Like a Girl on Triple R, the AFLW dedicated radio program. She's done her PhD in gender studies. Kate, welcome to SEN.
Thanks for having me. How are you, Derek?
Good, good. Give me your perspective on how you've viewed the build-up to this third season.
Oh, look, I was really surprised by Nicole Livingstone's comments. I think just from from the perspective of someone who's really involved in AFLW, who loves the game, who knows a lot of people who are very passionate about it, I don't think any of us would have said that the marketing's been ramped up in any way. I mean, particularly compared to the first season, I think that really set the standard, and a lot of people felt let down in season two in terms of the drop-off in the marketing, and I haven't really noticed a significant difference in season three. I know they've had their hashtag GenW, but that only launched a few days ago, and it's been fairly quiet apart from that on social media from my perspective.
So what's your gut feeling about the vibe as we head towards this third season?
Well, I think I have a similar feeling to last season. I think there's a lot of very passionate fans of women's footy, but then I think there's a whole untapped section of the community that hasn't yet really been given the opportunity to really take it up with the passion that they could. I mean, even just looking at the first game, I know it's a great initiative to have the game in Geelong, with Geelong entering the competition, but then we've got a doubleheader in Adelaide. So I think, you know, those Melbourne fans who might have started a bit of a tradition of getting along to the game on a Friday night, going down to Princess Park, I don't think there's the opportunity for people to just come along now, grab a friend, bring them along to the game. I think it's going to be difficult to draw in those people who as yet aren't already passionate about the league.
Do you think the AFL knows exactly what to do with its women's competition?
No, I'm not very confident that they do, to be honest. I saw, even in the same breath, Nicole Livingstone said, you know, we're not sure how to market the competition. We've hashtagged GenW because we thought about what we love about the women's game. And her comment was that what she loved, or what this group loved about the women's game when they were thinking about the marketing, was the idea that it was bringing lots of men to the game. And I think that's a strange comment for mine, because, you know, we've had 160 years or however long it is of women not playing on the national stage, not being given the same opportunities as men. And I think now it's time to really celebrate the exceptional attributes of the women that we're seeing, who are balancing jobs, who are, you know, coming to the game from other codes and doing an exceptional job given the circumstances, and I'm not sure they've figured out how to sell that story yet.
How would you sell it?
Well, I think like that. I think that, you know, for a very, very long time, women have been extremely invested in AFL, have loved this game, have grown up dreaming of pulling on their club's jumper, and haven't yet had that opportunity. I played cricket for Victoria when I was younger. I would have loved to play AFL, but in fact it never even crossed my mind that it was a possibility. And now in this season, we're finally seeing names like Maddie Prespakis for Carlton, who's like effectively had an uninterrupted pathway to AFL, and that's never been the case for women before, because of the fact that so many have had to drop out as teenagers and not pursue the game, and not had those talent pathways there to actually build them into elite footballers. Now, we're still not there in terms of resources, in terms of pay, but we're finally seeing that talent come through, and we haven't yet even seen the potential of these women. It's effectively untapped. So I think they really have a free pass in terms of selling it from that perspective.
Do you think, Kate, that there is a negativity directed towards this competition at the moment? So from, I haven't been fully engaged in footy through the cricket, then a couple of weeks off, and now I'm in Atlanta. Obviously, there were Kane Corns' commentary across a couple of days, and there's some really thoughtful responses to that. I think I hold a view that these are the holding years. There's such a wave coming through. If you know, I'm the father of daughters. If you've got any visibility around what's happening at the underage level, there's a wave which is going to plenish this competition for years to come. It's just going to take a couple of years, which the women are absolutely entitled to, and the competition is as well, rather than it being viewed as a leg up.
Yeah, I think I personally, and I know a lot of people involved in women's football, were really disappointed by those comments from Kane Corns and others suggesting that AFLW might be having some sort of unfair leg up. I mean, I find it hard to see how you can look at it that way when, as I've been saying, women have been playing this game since, you know, the 1800s, and they haven't had an opportunity to actually participate in a national league with the resources, with the investment. And I don't mean just in terms of pay, I mean culturally as well. You know, when you know, boys are growing up, it's just an expectation that they'll take up football. You know, they're coached, they're informally coached, they're supported to take up the game. And I think, as you say, we have this groundswell now at the grassroots, young girls growing up expecting that it's their rights, that, you know, that phrase is always thrown around, you can't be what you can't see. And now finally girls are having the opportunity to see these role models on display on TV. And I think, yeah, it's an excellent opportunity. We saw a 76% increase in teams in the first year. The numbers are incredible. So I hope that that momentum at the grassroots translates to the elite, but I fear that we still have a lot of negative voices. I know Mick Malthouse said some really negative things about not wanting women to get injured playing the game last year. I think these are retrograde opinions, and I hope that they're being weeded out.
Do you worry that if these are the holding years, say it's a three-year period, that if this is not nurtured carefully, that it mightn't be all that it promises to be when the wave of young girls come to play?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm worried about, and I'm not sure that the AFL have a grasp on that. I think, you know, something like introducing the conference system is a really risky move at a time when, as you say, we're in a holding year per se, and I think it's enough for people to get their head around having a national women's competition, figuring out which part of the year we want to play it in. You know, they've talked about, well, there was so much controversy about reducing the length of the season given that we introduced two new teams. I think there's a perception that the league is being experimented with, that perhaps the AFL is more interested in marketing something like AFLX. And I think that rubs off on people's attitudes around the competition. I think the AFL needs to really sell the message that they take this seriously and they want it to grow and they want it to succeed. And as you say, when those young girls come through, there actually is a competition there that has respect and integrity and has the fans and resources behind it that it deserves.
Do you have, with your expertise in cricket, with your experiences there, Kate, do you have any visibility around the way that the WBBL was, I mean, cricket sort of ahead of its time, ploughed a lot into it and is absolutely seeing the results now by comparison to what's happening in footy?
Yeah, I think, well, yeah, speaking from my own experience, cricket has come an extraordinarily long way. I had no hope, really, when I was playing as a 17-year-old, 18-year-old, I'm 32 now, that it would be where it is. And I think that's because behind the scenes there's been such a strong commitment to gender equity, and whether that's saying, you know, we need to have reasonable living wages so that these women can be full-time athletes, so that they can focus solely on cricket. They've made a commitment behind the scenes to say, you know, we need an equitable share for our women in the game, and whether that's redistributing money across from the men's program, they're prepared to actually put that investment and time in. And I'm not sure yet that there's that attitude with the AFL. I still think they see the men's and women's competitions as very separate, and I don't think they want to be seen as taking anything away from the men's competition, but I think that's the attitude we have to change, that if the women's game is to thrive, it's not about taking anything away from men. This should be seen as a win all round.
From where we are now, Kate, with the first game to be played on Saturday night, what's the best that can happen in Season 3 for AFLW?
Well, I think if the attendance numbers are there, I think if people are watching along at home, I think, you know, I'm friends with Charlotte Curtis, who used to be the female football development manager at the AFL for a decade, and she always says, you know, it's not that if they build it, we'll come. If we come, they have to build it and they have to nurture it. So I think if people get out in numbers and they prove that they're invested in this competition, then I think the AFL has to be seen to be behind it. So I just hope that, you know, despite it being in Geelong, or, you know, just we do have a lot of really difficult places for people to get to, like Cranbourne East. I hope that those communities, those regional or local communities, really get behind the game and get along.
The launch is tomorrow. So, Kate, with your dedication and knowledge of it, is who might capture the imagination, do you think, in season three?
In terms of teams, I'm pretty bullish about the Kangaroos. I know it's their first season in the competition, but their recruiting list reads extraordinarily. I mean, they've got Emma Carney, the competition best and fairest, as their inaugural captain. They've managed to get Jess Duffin, Jasmine Garner and Emma King all along from Collingwood. They're all ranked as elite players by Champion Data. And beyond that, they've got Jamie Stanton, Jenna Bruton, a premiership player, Caitlin Ashmore, Danielle Hardiman and Kate Gillespie-Jones. So I think the stat is that they've got 10 players in the top 35% of the competition in just their first year. So if they can make it gel on the field, I have big hopes for them. And hopefully Mo Hope can turn things around at a new club in a new environment as well.
Mm-hmm. Kate, hey, thanks for your insight. As with the launch tomorrow and then hopefully some building momentum towards Saturday night.
No worries. Thanks for your support.